Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. We are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Fans are coming in. The line is moving. We are gearing up to kick off training camp soon. I know I sound like your mother. Stay hydrated, though. If you're coming out, you already know it's going to be extremely hot today. And we just had general manager of the Falcons, Terry Fontenot, on. Besides getting Uncrustables for Bo, what were some of the takeaways you had from Terry?
Well, he had no problems with my top five list, so that's good. not that I asked him about fictional movie characters that are athletes, but nonetheless, man, always fun to kind of visit with him. I'm going to start calling him like the mayor. I know that, G down here is referred to as the commissioner. I'm going to start calling Terry Fontenot like the mayor, man. He's so smooth and visits with us before and afterwards and everything like that. But
it's not an arrogance.
Fun to
it's
catch
a confidence.
Up. Yeah, that's exactly
Tell
right.
Tell him, Terry.
That's exactly right. And I thought it was interesting, and he gave a number of good answers. But I think one of the things that we've seen so far, and we've talked about it a number of times on this show as well as the weekend shows, about the aggression up front in the defense and how they want to be able to create havoc in the backfield and really slice between the offensive line. I think it was interesting to kind of ask him about the departure of Eddie Goldman and Grady Jarrett and how things have kind of changed, and how when you've had four different defense coordinators in 4 years, how do you continue to match up the personnel with what those guys are trying to get accomplished? I didn't even get a chance to bring up Zach Harrison with him. To me, that's the ultimate poster child of, I drafted you for a Ryan Nielsen defense, and then you played in a Jimmy Lake defense, and now you're playing something completely different here in Jeff Ulbrich's defense.
And that's where I whenever we get a chance to talk to someone like Terry, I get – worried about the interview, because I think sometimes my questions are too in the weeds. You and I talked briefly about that question. I thought it was a really good question, but those are the little weed things that I go into with, I'm sitting there and I'll see Terry walk on the field when we're at practice, and I'm like, I wonder what his day's been like so far. And I just don't think people think about the fact that training camp might be busier than the players and coaches and training camp,
but sure. It's
just completely different, and we don't ever think about the fact that how different it is. I also am. It's gonna be a tough pill for me to swallow if this team isn't successful this year. It always is, but this one's gonna sting because I'm afraid of ramifications. Because I've watched them do what they think is right and be very. Be very good about taking the blows, right? Like, they've took some shots where things didn't work out, and there's never been hostility. There's never been that moment with the media where there's been a lash out or nothing, right?
Yeah.
And that, that there's frustration when things don't work out. And so you're doing everything. Everybody can run their mouth all they want about the Kirk Cousins thing, and I've heard it from till now until the cows come home about, they wanted Michael Penix. I said it too when it was first happened. But if they wanted him, they could have waited. Well, probably not how the draft would have played out. If Atlanta is sitting at 8 without Kirk Cousins, someone's going to jump ahead of them. Because I knew from NFL insiders that I've heard from I dropped that line, little NFL insider line. And a couple people I talked to literally said that there were two teams behind us that took quarterbacks that wanted Penix, and you can figure out who they were. So I don't think he would have been there. So I think it was a perfect storm. But now that's kind of dying down, I think they've handled this Cousins situation as well as you can, and you just hope, God, can we get our year? I mean, I just make the playoffs.
playoffs.
Can we win the division?
Talk about playoffs.
I heard Gerald McCoy was on Twitter yesterday. And he tweeted that he had sat down with Baker Mayfield and this and that. And he wanted the NFL to flex that early game of the Eagles in Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay is a Super Bowl contender this year. And that's great. But I don't know why the Tampa Bay team that we beat twice last year is any better than we are right now. I mean, I know why you can tell me on paper what they've done the last few years. But I think for some reason we match up well with them. So why can't we beat them and win this division?
Yeah, I completely agree. And the other thing, Allie, kind of the takeaway I always take away from Terry Fontenot, and I've been in the trenches in this locker room, and I understand some of the goings on. One of the things you have to remember is you kind of have to strike while the iron's hot when you're a general manager in the NFL. And Terry Fontenot's dealing with it. A lot of people, who would you say the best general manager is in the NFL right now? It's got to be Howie Roseman, right? Yeah. Howie Roseman is crowned constantly as the best GM
in
the NFL.
Well, Howie was – when Howie stepped back into that GM job, he had a base to go off of.
Right.
But what he's done a good job is drafting one way and not steering away from it.
Yeah.
Also, they draft defense well and are willing to sign offensive players.
Right.
This is their philosophy, and it's worked.
And my point being is that Howie Roseman, on and off, has been the GM. I mean, he was the GM when I got in the NFL in 2010.
But remember, they took it away from him.
I know, and they took it away. My point being is that, like, you've got to strike while the iron's hot when you're a GM. You have to kind of hit the ground running. If you don't, you become stale and you get moved out. We talk all the time about Thomas Dimitrov, who is the GM that drafted me here, drafted Julio here, drafted Matt Ryan here, led the greatest stretch in Falcons history. And you know what? They weren't able to capitalize on it, and he was fired eventually.
But
it's a crazy job.
Imagine if Thomas gets bumped up to, like, team VP, and then – It fails, and you need some – what you did to do that failed, and you need someone to kind of stabilize the franchise, and you brought him back. That's what they did with Howie, and Howie, I think, learned from some of his mistakes. Because remember, people forget, Chip Kelly was doing the team personnel when he was the head coach there for the 2 years or year and a half or whatever.
You're talking about the super team?
Yeah, and it went off the rail. Well, no, that was Howie, but then Chip came in. Yeah, was that the super team in 12?
I think it was the super team.
No, I don't think Chip was there. I think Andy was still there when they had Vic in the super team with Nnamdi Asinwa.
The backup was Vince Young.
But then Chip came in like 14 and 15, and then it went back to Howie, and he kind of stabilized things, and then they started getting – but Howie Roseman missed on Carson Wentz if you want to be down on it.
Well, and you know what he also did is he was able to turn, I think, the Carson Wentz trade into, like, four of the best players they have right now, which was Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Cooper DeJean, who is somehow, like, higher than Bijan Robinson
which
on
is,
the NFL top
which
100,
is ridiculous.
Which is absolutely absurd.
So things have kind of been a perfect storm for Howie, but I think that Thomas gets two things Thomas didn't do here. Ever draft trenches well, other than a couple players. I think you were one of them, honestly. I'm not dissing it because you're sitting here, but – If your career goes a little different, I think you're a Jake Matthews on the other side. I think you could have played that long in the league. You had that makeup. We saw it at Alabama. But injuries come in, and that in the end of the day, that's on Thomas's resume. But what one of the things Thomas got caught up in doing was trying to save his job, and he and Dan Quinn chased their tail for the last 2.5 seasons of in the off season as well of trying to save their jobs. And all it did was just completely destroy you in the cap and in the draft, and you were a casualty of that.
One superficial observation I have about Terry is he has so much information that he just keeps within. How do you hold that in when you're hearing us ramble on about what we think's going on?
I know, right?
Speculating.
I
he
know.
Sees like Pat McAfee talking about things like, how do you not just let the cat out of the bag and be like, dude, this is what's
that's
really happening?
That's why I poked at him when they were doing the pre-draft show with Andy Randy. He's like, you know, have you fielded any calls? And he shows Andy his phone like, oh, yeah, do you know who this guy is? Yeah, that's the GM, you know. And I'm sitting there going, I'm texting Andy going, who was it? And he's like, won't tell you. And I'm like, how do you, like, can I get it now? Like, here we are 4 months later. And I'm still like, dude, who was on the phone? You know what I mean? I still want to know the answer to that. I don't know how he keeps the lid on.
I would tell you that as a fantasy football GM, Allie, sometimes having too much information destroys your – it actually makes you a worse manager.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
You got.
I mean, Mike, am I wrong?
No, you're on the right track.
I do feel, though, that when you brought up the Andy and Randy phone call, that Terry was on board to show you the next phone call he gets. You just got to stick near him.
Yeah, man.
During
let me know, dude.
Today.
Also, dude, he wanted us to throw Andy under the bus. I was like, I ain't doing it. It's my teammate. I ain't doing it. It's my teammate.
Well, he also hasn't told us who it was.
Yeah, I was like, come on, man.
He's free and clear.
That's true, but, you know, I could have been like, yeah, but I'm not going to tell you that.
We could have just made it a
maybe.
Full circle.
I could.
But if we promised him, we wouldn't tell you.
We could have toyed with that. We're like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Well, today is the first padded practice out here for the Falcons. So what will you be watching for on the field? We're going to talk about that next with the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.